When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the Learning Unlocked podcast, presented by Open Sesame. Taking a deep dive into the global world of learning and development with practical tips and tricks, along with insights from leading brands and the people that make them work. This is Learning Unlocked. Now, here's your host, Ryan Berger.
My guest is Lisa Bedell. She is the founder and CEO of FutureThink. You can find more about them at futurethink.com. Lisa, thanks for joining me on the Learning Unlocked podcast. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me today. I'm excited.
So why don't we start with you giving our listeners a little bit of background on your founder's story behind FutureThink. How did the company start?
Yeah, so kind of the origin story, right?
Right.
I say that I'm a recovering ad agency person, which means I was always a creative person, or should I say a strategic person in a creative environment. But, you know, back then a couple decades ago, if you weren't a creative by trade, meaning you went to art school or you were a writer, you weren't deemed, quote, creative. So I was an account person. But, you know, lo and behold, the creatives always loved me and clients always loved me. And I realized, you know what, I should go out and start another business that really redefines who can participate in creativity, because there's a lot of untapped potential going on here in companies, because it shouldn't just be to a small group of people that can do it. So I started FutureThink, and my goal was to give people tools to learn how to be more creative and innovative. And, you know, lo and behold, people really like to be trained on it, not just given tools. And that's how this whole business launched, was training people on how to better deal with coming up with new ideas in new and different ways to get more potential filled. And so from there, it really just grew. To be honest, we went and we started teaching people about curiosity and creative problem solving and being able to ask killer questions and kill stupid rules. And, you know, here we are today teaching them those kind of power skills that really make a difference.
It's a great idea, because there are a lot of people who may be introverts or who may not always raise their hand, but they could be super creative. And we don't always tap into their creativity. If someone is working at a company and they're listening to this, and they want to better tap into the creativity of maybe those introverts or people who aren't in a creative role, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because I think everyone likes to follow the expert, right? And the extrovert, because if they're louder, they're smarter. You hear them more, right?
Right.
And that's just not, you know, we know that's not the case. So a couple of things. If you've got some introverts in your group, first of all, if you have a meeting, call on everybody. So it's not just you're waiting for people to answer. Sometimes people need to be asked to feel comfortable. The other thing is giving people lots of different ways to participate, right? So it can be small groups and large groups. It can be, rather than talking, it can be chatting and emailing, because some people are better with the written word than the spoken word. So really thinking through the different environments, so you can create a culture where everyone feels like they can be included versus just, well, people that are more extroverted or outgoing.
I find that unless I'm in the right setting, like, my creative juices don't get flowing the right way. I think if we're all bogged down with things, we have a million things on our plate, we're not really tapping into our creativity. What do you find is the best environment in order for us to be able to tap into our creativity?
Being alone. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
So, and I'll tell you why. So, I think everyone confuses being collaborative, which is something you need. But how they solve that right now is through meetings. And meetings are not necessarily collaborative or creative. So there's really two parts to getting inspiration. One is being alone and the other one is coming together. So, you know, if you really want to be more creative, you got to have time to think. And that's a problem right now because we're so busy. So what I say to people is simplify your work and have some time to think alone, because we come up with our best ideas when we're alone, right? But we build our best ideas when we're together. We've got lots of time to come together on Zoom, but we don't have time to be alone. And I can prove this to you when I ask people, what do you spend your day doing? And they say meetings and emails. Mm-hmm. And I say, let me ask you a different question. When and where do you do your best thinking? And people say, when I'm on a run, walking my dog, in the shower, going to bed, waking up. No one says they do their best thinking at work.
Right.
And so the reason that's really kind of an epiphany is, look, if you're not doing your best thinking at work, you better be able to find some time or weave in ways that when you do your best thinking, that's part of your day, and that you can capture that with people and come together after you've had time to do that. People don't have time to think. It's not that they're not smart or they're not creative. They don't have time. And we've got to give them back or mandate that they take more time to think.
Are you seeing companies almost like put their employees in time out where you can go into your office and like just have some silent time to, you know, creatively think? I agree with you. I think when your brain slows down and, you know, like you said, you're running or you're working out or you're walking your dog and you're just quiet and at peace, that's when the creative thoughts kind of start flowing.
Yeah. It's the same thing for me. Like I spend a significant amount of time traveling and I always build in wander time. And that's just time to wander around, because if you want to get new inspiration, you got to, you know, do something new. And you got to break out of your old habits. I'm not going to get any new ideas sitting in a hotel room. So I build that time in. But the bigger thing for, you asked me if people should mandate it or, you know, force this kind of thinking time. The bigger thing leaders need to think about is we spend so much time trying to get people to do more. I think we need to first get people to stop doing things. And that's a really different shift, meaning what I want people to do is to stop having meetings. I want them to mandate no meeting weeks. In fact, Novartis just had a no meeting week for the whole company. Fidelity is having 2 weeks where they just have nothing on the calendars, because what they're trying to do is force people to have thinking time. And the only way that works is like when everyone's doing it together, right? It's kind of like you go on vacation, and when everyone else is on vacation, it's great because your inbox doesn't fill up. Same thing with no meeting weeks. So I think you're going to see more and more people mandating stopping doing things. So people are forced to get in the habit of it's okay to think. You don't have to be doing to be valuable.
I love that. I think we meet too much. I just think, and how many meetings actually lead to productivity? I think sometimes we meet just to meet. And I like that idea of no meeting weeks.
Yeah, we have a whole thing where we teach people to do to kill stupid meetings, like do a zombie meeting audit and get rid of those recurring meetings. If you can't get rid of some of them, invite less people or go on a time diet. I mean, there's so many ways that you can get rid of unnecessary complexity and unnecessary work to make space for more valuable things. And one of those things is thinking.
More of Learning Unlocked is coming up after this.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion continues to be a top priority for businesses everywhere. Open Sesame has created a survey that will give you insight into where your organization stands on diversity. Aside from being educational, this survey is a powerful tool to help you understand areas of improvement and spark conversations about strategies for creating a more inclusive and equitable workplace. After you take the short survey, you'll get access to Open Sesame's DEI Toolkit, an online hub where you can find additional resources. Visit opensesame.com today to start your survey.
Back to Learning Unlocked. Here's Brian Berger.
On August 17th, I believe it is, you're going to be doing a webinar on the Open Sesame platform. You can sign up at opensesame.com. But one of the things you're going to be talking about, curiosity as a competitive advantage. Give us a little teaser of what does that mean? What is curiosity as a competitive advantage?
Yeah. So, you know, if we want to actually, if you want better answers, you need better questions. And we don't have, people are more focused on being smart and having an answer. They feel like they look dumb if they're asking questions. And it's risky. we, not just as leaders, but as companies, need to create an environment where if you want to have more innovative solutions, you've got to get better at seeking new solutions. And with that is curiosity. You know, the leaders that are the best aren't the ones that have all the answers. They're the ones that know what they don't know. And they know how to ask unusual suspects. They include more diverse people in their brainstorming and question storming. And they know how to ask actually provocative and uncomfortable questions. And what's great about that is those are the people that are seekers. And they're the ones that come up with more diverse answers. And the result of that, by the way, is they minimize their risk because they're better informed. If you have a person or a culture that is more curious, you're going to be more innovative and you're going to be able to have safer, better risk taking.
We talk a lot on this podcast about how the world has kind of been reset after the pandemic. We can't really do things exactly the way we did before the pandemic because the world has changed. What are you learning? What are the skills that are needed in this new world of work that we're living in?
Well, I mean, it's challenging the status quo. I mean, I truly think that we're going to look back on this time of COVID as one of the most positively transformative times of our lifetime. And the reason for that is because we were forced to challenge the way that we work, the work that we do, and how we spend our time. And so what that means is, now we've opened the door to the things that really matter, which isn't just subject matter expertise. It's skills like creative problem solving, curiosity, being more agile. We've learned that that's a big skill. Being curious and inquisitive. Those are the kinds of things that we need more of going forward. And those are the leaders that are going to succeed. Those are some of the things that we teach and, you know, we work on with Open Sesame.
What does it mean to be more agile in the workplace?
So my definition of it, it's not just to be able to pivot, right? Everyone wants you to pivot. And I'm sure many people here listening are tired of pivoting.
Yeah.
Being agile is being able to recognize a change that's coming and be able to take advantage of it proactively. So the reason I'm bringing that up is most people view agility as being able to be good at reacting to change. I don't want my team to be reactive to change. I want them to be really, they're so focused on the change, they're open to change, that they can be proactive about it. I don't want them to react to people's change. I want them to create change and put it on other people. Being agile and being proactive allows you to do that.
So along those lines, I'm hearing about a lot of different companies who, you know, we hear about the great resignation, right? So there are executives that have been in positions for decades. Now they're either moving into an advisory role or they're retiring. And you hear, hey, we're trying to modernize our department. Are you hearing this? And if someone's listening to this and they're tasked with modernizing their department, and I know it's not one size fits all, but what are some of the steps you take to kind of say, okay, that's old thinking in the past. The old leaders are moving on. We're modernizing how we do things. What are some of the questions you should be asking yourself as you modernize your department?
Yeah. What are you modernizing? I mean, one of the things people, you know, it sounds sexy, right? We got to modernize. We got to change.
Right.
But change is typically that people want to stop doing something an old way and start doing something new. And before you start doing something new, I think they need to focus on what they want to stop doing. And so the reason I say that is what they need to do is look at what are the behaviors and the skills that are holding them back. What are the things that they need to stop doing? Like killing stupid rules, getting rid of old habits, so they can make space for now what they need to start doing. And by starting doing, I mean, what are the skills that you want to build in more? Is it agility? Is it a more flexible workplace? Is it the people can be more curious? Those are the kinds of things that you really need to ask yourself as a leader. Being even more specific, I think what people need to do in addition to what they're going to stop doing is that they need to really define, well, what is the meaningful work that we should be doing that we're not? Because everyone uses that as a catchphrase, right? Like, we need to be doing more meaningful work. We need to stop doing unnecessary things. Well, what's the meaningful work you wish you were doing? And by stopping as a leader and as a team and defining actually what that meaningful work is, that serves as your North Star for what the change needs to be. And that's a really good thing to start with.
Yeah, that is great advice. As the founder and CEO of FutureThink, you know, I ask this question a lot too on this podcast. Employees are jumping around. Employees are being poached. Companies have to work harder than ever to develop and retain their employees. What advice would you give as the leader of a company on the best way to do that?
One is to define what that meaningful work is. And because I think if you get the work right, you get the culture right. And being able to tell people what they are going to be able to work on every single day is something that really makes a company attractive. Another thing, and this is a bias for me, but I think it's really important, is I think people that have created cultures that are very simplified and focused are very attractive to people. People are very skeptical of corporations. They don't want these kind of jargon-laden vision statements that they're not connected to. And if you can actually simplify the work so people know that they aren't wasting their time anymore, that's going to be a really sexy, attractive way to recruit people.
More of Learning Unlocked is coming up after this.
Open Sesame helps companies develop the world's most productive and admired workforces. How? By having the most comprehensive catalog of e-learning courses from the world's top publishers, publishers like TED and Harvard, and having courses that cover learning topics like diversity, equity, and inclusion, leadership development, safety and compliance, and wellness. Try a course for free today by visiting opensesame.com/course of the week.
Back to Learning Unlocked. Here's Brian Berger.
It seems like we want people to be more efficient and focused so that they do have a little bit more of their own time to be creative or spend with their families, which they were doing a lot of during the pandemic. And people appreciated that a little bit more. And they want to kind of carve out some of that family time still.
They do. But the big difference, and I'm glad you brought this up, is, you know, simplifying things to people means something different than what it means to corporations. And the corporations need to get this right. This is not an efficiency exercise. Like corporations are constantly thinking about efficiency. And you know what we've seen through the statistics during the pandemic, people have been more productive than ever before. They are efficient. They are doing more, but they are not satisfied and they are still leaving. And the reason why is because they are efficient at doing unnecessary things. And so what we want to be able to do is not get people to be more efficient, but actually to be able to have time to work on things that matter. That's actually valuable to the company. And that is what's valuable to people. Simplicity and simplifying helps them do that.
What's the best way to communicate with a remote workforce? Because again, people are working hybrid. Some people are full remote. Some people are back to full in person. But, you know, it seems like a lot of people are at the very least doing hybrid.
Yeah, I think one of the things is, you know, there's not one way to do it. It depends on what your role is, right? Some people do more rote things and some people have to be very creative and collaborative. But I think the thing is that not enough leaders spend time setting the norms. Because remember, what gets people all caught up every day is fear. So the more you can articulate behaviors to people, how should we communicate? When do we use different communication channels? The clearer it'll be. So for example, we work with a lot of pharmaceutical companies and banks that have said, look, for things that are ongoing meetings, we're going to do Zoom and we want you to have your camera on, right? That's just the way we're doing it. For things that are more urgent, pick up the phone or Slack me, right? Let's get in that habit because scheduling a meeting takes way more time and is less efficient than just picking up the phone. These are the kinds of conversations that, so for example, people at Novartis, they'll say, emails are for information, meetings are for decision. Setting these kind of norms helps people, whether they're in person or they're virtual, understand what channels to use when. And so they don't kind of get stuck in this rut of everything's a Zoom meeting.
I really like that because I think people do struggle with what platform should I be using to communicate and when.
Well, what when, and also what ones not to use. I mean, I think the problem is if they can't get a hold of somebody in one channel, then they get a hold of them in all channels.
Yeah.
And that's not efficient either. So again, we try and say, what are just the core ones we want to use? And what are the ones that will get things most timely? I mean, the best way I can keep saying it is things like, you know, emails are for information, meetings are for decisions, Slack is for urgency. There's those kind of little guidelines, at least give people not the handcuffs, but the guardrails within which they can function and do so without so much fear.
What are some of the courses on Open Sesame that you can tell our listeners about? Because, you know, that's one of the things we do on this podcast, too, is talk about some of the course titles from the publishers.
Oh, thank you. Well, there's so many. And, you know, obviously, we love working with Open Sesame because they're really good about pushing power skills, which is what we focus on. So we do things on like leading change, on simplifying, on curiosity, on agility and resilience. Those are the kinds of courses that we think leaders need to get ahead, right? It's not what we called I-shaped people, people that just have depth. Leaders that succeed in our courses with Open Sesame are T-shaped people. They also have breadth that allow these leaders to succeed because they can go outside of their business unit and go between and beyond them because they can better create a problem solve, collaborate, be more agile, et cetera. So those are our courses, and we hope people will check them out also in 7 different languages. So that's kind of a sexy thing too.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's great. We're psyched.
Before I let you go, you've talked about, you know, free time and tapping into your creativity. What do you do to be creative? Walk me through, you know, are you going jogging? Are you walking the dog? How are you tapping into your personal creative energy?
A few things. One is I set up brain dates every week. So a brain date is something where you reach out to somebody to get 15 minutes on their calendar to learn something totally new and a topic you're interested in. And brain dates are kind of cool because one, you know, people like to talk about themselves and offer their expertise. Most people are afraid to reach out to other experts and they don't realize that there's a lot of people that would love to talk to them. So I set up a brain date every week. I definitely build in time to walk. And the reason I do that, I do a lot of walking and writing, is because people don't realize what's on their mind until they give their mind time to open up. So I walk for an hour and I write 3 pages every morning, free flow. What, you know, I can say the same thing over and over again, but it really helps me get out what's on my mind and helps me better problem solve.
Some incredible nuggets from Lisa Budell, the founder and CEO of FutureThink, futurethink.com. You can join the Open Sesame webinar with her on August 17th. Register at opensesame.com and find FutureThink's courses on the Open Sesame platform at opensesame.com. Lisa, this has been really insightful, some great nuggets and hints of information. Thanks for joining us on the Learning Unlocked podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really had a great time, Brad.
Thanks for listening to Learning Unlocked, presented by Open Sesame. Download this and every episode on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Learning Unlocked is produced by Griggs Productions.